Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we begin our study of the Pauline Epistle to the Philippians, written by collaboration of Paul and Timothy and penned by Epaphroditus while in Rome. This study will cover Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 through 6, and we've titled it, God's Good Work in You. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, please send those by email to bbbfohio@yahoo.com, or you can send them by U.S. Postal to P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. And now we join our study of Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 through 6, titled, God's Good Work in You. This is part 1 of 2.
If you will, turn to the Epistle of Paul to the Philippians. We finished our study of Ephesians last week. This week we're going into Philippians. For the sake of newcomers or visitors, just to let you know right off the bat that we believe the King James Bible is the Word of God. If you hear me quoting a new version, it will be to mock and make fun of it.
Amen.
We believe the Bible. We don't just use it. Amen? Amen? We don't just use it. And we believe that God wrote the Bible. In this particular instance, we're reading a letter. And just as if I wrote you a letter, you would start at the beginning and read in order what I wrote to the end, right?
Amen.
That's how God's people are supposed to treat God's book. Most of God's people don't. That's why most of God's people are Bible ignorant. But if you will read it that way at home, actually you only have to read 3 chapters a day, you go through the Bible every year.
Amen.
Think of that. You get as old as me, think of how many times you go through the Bible.
Amen.
You'd know it pretty good, wouldn't you? You say, well, what's your excuse? Now, I don't like to get up here and brag and boast, but I was telling Stephen just a little while ago, I talk to people who have been in church for years, and when I try to talk to them about the Bible, I get blank stares.
Yeah.
The reason is because they didn't take it upon themselves to read the Bible from cover to cover. Then they went to churches that didn't teach the Bible cover to cover, didn't teach through books. And on top of that, they even when they taught something from the Bible, a lot of times it was taken totally out of context. So they didn't even have a proper understanding of what little Bible they did get at the church they attended. Well, we're going to start our study of this letter Paul wrote to the believers in Philippi. And we're going to go through every verse till we get to the end. Amen?
Amen?
Now, if you are faithful to attend Sunday mornings over a few weeks, it might be 3 or 4 months, I don't know how long it'll take, might be sooner, might be later. We don't go in with an agenda to get through it a certain amount of time. But by the time you come to the end of that, I will promise you, you'll know the Bible better than when we started. And if during that time you are reading 3 chapters a day in your own Bible, God will teach you things you'll never hear here.
Amen.
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 Now, if you're saved and you're a Bible believer, that ought to excite you.
Amen.
The coming weeks should be exciting.
Amen.
Because God can teach you. And you say, well, I've arrived. No, we're going to talk about that in just a moment, but none of us have arrived. Ernesto, you've been reading the Bible for a long time, haven't you? You still learning things? Amen. How many of you have been reading the Bible for a while and can say you keep learning?
Amen.
That's because unlike Shakespeare and some of the great human books, this is divine.
Amen.
This book is from God.
Amen.
And so you can read it your entire life, once, twice, 3 times, 5 times a year, however many times you can read it and comprehend what you're reading, and you will still continue to learn.
Amen.
It's an amazing book. So with that little introduction, let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for everyone who came here today with the right attitude to learn your word, to fellowship with your people, to sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, to pray for one another, to make intercession, and to pray and praise you with thanksgiving. And Lord, we just pray you continue as we are in the book, that the Holy Spirit would guide, lead us, teach us, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, we are in Philippians chapter 1, beginning of verse 1. We're going to intend to make it through verse 6. And for that reason, we're titling this, God's Good Work in You. Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. If you would, beginning in verse 1, read that with me. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Now the Bible student should be, or possibly was, struck by this co-authorship. I have to tell you, a lot of times, we learned that as we closed out Ephesians, when you read commentaries and or summaries of books of the Bible, a lot of times they just leave some good information out. And Paul wrote this, but he gives credit to he and Timothy that this is a co-authored letter being sent to the folks at Ephesus. Philippi. Yeah, I'm still back in the old study, aren't I? To the believers at Philippi. We'll come back to that in a second, and I'll correct myself. Paul and Timotheus. Now, that's a Greek transliteration of the word of the name Timothy. Timotheus is Timothy. How many of you know there are a couple of other epistles named 1st and 2nd?
Timothy.
Timothy. Same person. You'll see Timothy's name pop up from time to time. And they present themselves as the grand poobah. In that way, they say, we are the most high reverend Paul and most beneficent dictator Timothy. No. How many of you seen the religious people, the big high churches, and they, I'm reverend, and they have the robes and all that on? You just need to understand something. I want to say, on the first hand, we believe that if you're saved, you're saved. And so I believe there are some people caught up in those, there are a number of people caught up in those denominations I believe are saved. And some even of the pastors themselves I believe are saved, up there with their dumb looking outfits on. See, there's a lot of saved people who do stupid things. And when you go to these churches with all this decoration and all this stuff, that's not Jesus. That's not Bible. You know what? That's a clown show.
Amen.
They're trying to lure you in through the flesh. You see, your flesh is fed by those things. But that's not spirit. Jesus said, these words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. John 6:63. If you're a spirit-filled Christian, if you're led by the Spirit, you're all about His words. And if what you're about is, oh, how I feel. Oh, and I've had people say, oh, I went to this church and I just felt so much. I just felt this, I had this tingle. Oh. I said, well, you know, I do that when I drink too much coffee. Yeah. Even get the jitters. You go to their churches, that's what they do. Oh. Switch to decaf. Because that's flesh. It's not spirit. And whenever you have a man come up and have an attitude of greatness, thank you, children of God. It's wonderful to have you in my presence this morning. You are so blessed to be able to see me. And that's how a lot of preachers are, because they're in the flesh. And a lot, that's really just a personality cult, what it is. It's a personality cult. It's to make you think, I'm a man, so if you want to get to God, you better be in good with me. That's not how Paul approached people. As a matter of fact, you read over in Corinth, when he was dealing with some really bad sin in the churches of Corinth, he said, I could have come to you as an apostle and just smacked you. But I didn't. How many of you read that? We studied it some time ago here. He said, I could have come as an apostle and just started knocking you around. But I didn't. I came as one who has the Spirit of God, preaching the Word of God, calling on you to submit to the Word of God. Amen. That's how I approach you this morning. I am here with a book that I believe is the infallible Word of God. I'm going to preach it faithfully, exactly as I believe it is written. And I call on you to test it. Acts 17:11. Search the Scriptures daily to see if what you're being taught is actually true. And if you find out what I'm saying is true, you need to accept it. Because if you reject it, you're not rejecting me, you're rejecting God. But be very careful, because it's not me. It's not me that you should be worried about. But when I'm speaking the words of God from His book and I'm teaching you from this book, then you ask, is this from God? Is what Pastor Greg, is what Steve, what John, what whoever I'm listening to, what they're teaching, is it biblical? And if it is biblical, then that's God speaking to you through us. And so using me as an excuse to reject God's Word isn't a good excuse. Amen. There have been plenty who don't like me, and because they heard it from me, they reject it. But they still didn't reject me, they rejected God's Word. Amen. Amen. It's just a little bit of a FYI here. I don't make these slides 5 minutes before I get up here to teach. This is a work in progress. I start Thursday. I put in hours of study. Amen. To get this ready. Amen. Sometimes up to 12 to 14 hours of study. My wife is my witness. Amen. So if I say something and it hits you, I wasn't thinking of you. Amen. Don't sit there and say, well, that preacher's preached at me. It's God's Word. And I wasn't thinking of you when I came up with this slide. Amen?
Amen.
Well, I want to look what he says. The servants of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's how a real man of God, a real preacher, approaches you, as a servant of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Not the grand poobah. So this letter is still Pauline. That's a word you need to get used to. Pauline. That means it comes from Paul. It has the authority of apostleship. And it is Pauline. But credit where it is due. Timothy was right there with him writing that letter. But the words aren't Paul's or Timothy's. They're God's words.
Amen.
And this, look at this, is not to one church.
Amen.
It's to all churches in Philippi.
Amen.
You notice that? I've actually read the commentaries and the introductions in the Bibles that they say to the church at Philippi. What's it say? He says, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi.
Amen.
It was to all the saints. Philippi was a big place. They didn't have just one meeting place.
Amen.
So they had more than one local church. And you're going to find that's true of most of these. Now there's like Philemon, or if you pronounce it Philemon, he had a church in his house. John, the apostle, wrote in his epistles, 2nd and 3rd John, he wrote to those who had churches in their homes, specific churches. But it was in, we understand that these words are from God, so they're to all of us. But it's important to understand that. To understand that this letter was written to, we don't know how many different churches existed in Philippi at the time. But it's written to all of them. And that's important because I believe that, biblically, I believe that if you just look at all the New Testament churches, number one, it doesn't teach this idea of local churches having several heads.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people who try to sound spiritual and they say, well, we have four pastors, but Jesus is the head. Listen, Jesus is the head of the church.
Amen.
But the local church, he has an under-shepherd called a pastor, also could be called a bishop. The reason why we don't use the word bishop anymore is just because it's been warped by the Catholics and some of the other denominations, and they have bishops over whole regions, which the Bible doesn't teach. So we got away from referring to pastors as bishop because people look at you and they get the wrong idea. So we stick with the word pastor. And the pastor is over the local church as Jesus is over the church, but only in as much as the pastor is in line with the Word of God. You are yourself a priest, and I'm not the mediator.
Amen.
I'm just a Bible teacher, and I provide leadership to the church. Now, here's the thing. If your church has more than one pastor, then you should have more than one wife.
Yeah, right.
And who wants that?
Yeah.
And all the women say, who wants more than one husband? Mm. I saw it out there. That looked like y'all doing a wave out there. Hey, I don't care if you're the man or the woman. Having more than one spouse is insanity. Craziness. I love Jenny, but I don't want more than one. She loves me, but she don't want more than one. Amen? The church is a picture of the relationship that we have with God. And if you've got more than one head, then the family is supposed to be the husband, the head of the home. Amen? All the feminists in the house say amen.
Amen.
The man is to be the head of the home. The church is to resemble that. Which is why you don't have several pastors. Now you can have assistants, associates, whatever, but there is a lead pastor. There's someone in leadership. And he doesn't wear a skirt.
Amen.
That's why we should not have she's as pastors.
Amen.
And you women can get your feelings hurt all you want, but that's how God made it.
Amen.
God also didn't make men to have babies.
That's right. Preach. Yep.
Am I going to get mad about that? God has robbed me of the wonderful experience of giving birth. That's how people act. They say, well, that's sexist. Well, you know what? You're going to have a day where you're going to get to tell God you think he's a sexist.
Right.
Because he said that he would not have a woman usurp authority over men. Or to teach as an authority over men. We're going to go by the Bible. I don't care what culture says. Amen?
Amen.
And you have that example of the local church with pastoral leadership. But in Worthington, we're not the only game in town.
Amen.
There are other churches, some better than others, some more biblical than others. And then there are also false churches. So you got to be careful. But there are other Bible-based churches with believers right now in their buildings meeting, and we respect that. We're not the only game in town. So pay close attention to how these letters began. I just real quickly show you in Romans, it started out to all that be in Rome. And in context, he's talking about all Christians. It was the idea that there was one church in Rome that gave birth to the whore. You get that? There was the idea that there was one church in Rome with a bishop who was over other churches. That's what gave birth to the Roman Catholic whore. And the result has been tens of millions of people killed. Heresy begets heresy.
Amen.
In Corinth, it says, under the church of God, which is at Corinth. That's how the first epistle starts. Under the church of God. Now, we are a church of God. We are not the church of God. We are a church of God, and all of us belong to the church of God.
Amen.
The church of God is made up of all believers everywhere.
Amen.
Who have ever lived.
Amen.
We are a local church, and as a local church, we are a church of God. Now, that's how you've got to be that careful, folks. I mean, you either be careful with your words, or Satan is going to get you.
Mm-hmm.
You know how Satan got him in the garden? He quoted God and added the word not. Thou shalt surely die became thou shalt not surely die. You add one little word, three little word, and you just destroyed the word of God.
Right.
Amen. 2 Corinthians starts out by saying, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. See that? That letter was written to the church of God, which was made up of all the Christians of all the local churches in Corinth, and all the saints which were in Achaia. Now, I had somebody one time say, well, that's crazy. Obviously, that letter was written to one church because it says so. And then I took them here and showed them that. And like, whoa, okay, wait a minute. What's that prove? That proves you've got to be careful. What you're taught has to be in line with the Bible. Because once you, some of you may sit there right now just still not getting it, how important this is as a Christian. But the importance is, because if they get you on this, then they'll start to make you think you shouldn't go to a church with a pastor.
Right.
And you ought to not even go to a church that's in a building. You ought to meet, you know, in a house which is a building. We meet in a garage, which is a building.
Right.
We meet in a school, which is a building. You know people who say you shouldn't meet in the church buildings? How many of you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
There's a movement today of people saying a church building is somehow a sin. The hypocrites meet in buildings.
Amen.
They're just not church buildings. Well, this letter wasn't written to one local church meeting in a building. But it was written to all the believers. All the saints, which are in Achaia. Galatians, real quick, says unto the what?
Churches.
Plural. Of Galatia. Look at Ephesians. To the what?
Saints.
Which are at Ephesus. Just an important point that I hope you take note of as we move on. That is why it is addressed to bishops, plural. It says right there in verse 1, with the bishops and deacons. Why? Not because there was one church with a bunch of bishops, a bunch of pastors who were all, you know, co-pastoring and all that sort of thing. No, that's not how it worked. This was written to all the saints in Philippi, which means there was more than one local church and more than one bishop that would be addressed by this letter. Amen.
Amen.
And that's why the verse ends that way. So a little reality check. Isn't it amazing the clarity when you read and study every word?
Amen.
That's the point. When you just hop, skip, and jump around, most Christians today are bumper sticker Christians. They are t-shirt Christians. They're devotional Christians. They're not Bible Christians.
Yeah.
They don't read the Bible. They read devotionals. They'll read little, you know, like I said, t-shirts. They'll have a calendar at their desk. They'll have an email that'll send them a little, you know, tidbit. But to open up that Bible, the Bible says to study, to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly divide. How many Christians not only not rightly divide the word of truth, but are workmen?
Yeah.
It's kind of like the local church, but when you're supposed to work.
Amen.
And most Christians don't want to work. If it's not fun, how many of you heard people say, well, when it's not fun, it's time to quit? Amen. That's one of the stupidest things you'll ever hear.
Amen.
You know who gets to say that? Really, really, really rich people.
Right.
The rest of us, when it's not fun, it's time to get over it.
Amen.
Get back to work. Amen?
Amen?
The same thing's true when it comes to studying the Bible. You can't go by your feelings. If Satan knows you're that touchy-feely, he's going to make sure you never feel good.
Right.
And you'll never get in the Word. Same thing's true about church. Local church meetings, local church ministry. You don't, this might be a newsflash, but you didn't come here. If you came here to be served, you came to the wrong place.
Amen.
I mean, even your coffee, you have to get it yourself. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. And, you know, I know some preachers that really get up here and really rail on it. And I'm not going to rail on it, but I'll say this. Some of you might need to learn to pick up after yourself, because I've come in here after the service and it looks like you're a three-year-old.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
You know why you do that? Because you came here to be served. You didn't come here to serve. Flush the toilet.
Amen.
That'd be a big help.
Amen.
You know why some people don't flush the toilet? Because they don't care about anybody but themselves.
Right.
The next guy coming in doesn't want to look at that.
Amen.
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 Hey, man. Some of you say, keep it real. I'm keeping it real. Amen.
Right.
Yeah. If you come in to be served, you're going to be the one we're always picking up after. Always cleaning up after. You know what? You don't even have to. I'm just telling you. There's some people. I can name names and I'm not going to. But there's some people who come in here and it's amazing. I mean, you almost want to tell them to take it easy, because they're just always looking for ways to help. Always looking for people to help with. Always looking for things to do.
Mm-hmm.
But that should be the attitude of everybody who comes in here. When everybody comes to church with an attitude of wanting to serve rather than be served, man, that's a revival. Because that ain't going to just be here. That'll happen when you go out the door. But Christians today are some of the snottiest, sniveling, whining, self-centered, self-absorbed people on the planet. We wonder why the world is going to hell today, because the church is going to hell today. And if Christians could get over themselves, it'd be a huge step toward making things better. So the message is one of grace and peace to these folks. But Paul doesn't always dish out the grace and the peace, by the way. Sometimes what he's saying is, I pray that you'll have it, because there's so much discord and things going on, they don't have it. But in the text he says, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I have to move quickly. I don't want to keep you here all day, but this is just something that's crazy going on. A bunch of novices on the YouTube and TBN and all this, they don't know what they're doing. Jesus is not God the Father. Say that with me if you believe it. Jesus is not God the Father. There's a growing, I guess, group of nincompoops running around telling everybody that Jesus and God the Father are the same. Jesus said, I and my Father are one. He didn't say they're the same.
Amen.
How many of you know the difference? To being one, you and your wife, you and your spouse are supposed to be one flesh, but you're not the same.
Amen.
You still have to have your own social security card for the New World Order. Amen? Jesus said, I and my Father are one. But Jesus is called the Lord in this text. Now look at it again. From God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at that big three-letter word right in the middle there. And. That means they're not the same. There's God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Y'all remember whenever Jesus was baptized, he was in the water, a voice from heaven spoke, and then a dove came and landed on him, representing the Spirit. These nuts seem to be saying that Jesus is a ventriloquist. He's standing in the water, throwing his voice, this is my Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. What? I didn't say that.